I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Welcome everyone to Spark My Muse. This is Soul School Lesson 72. Give them the moo. We don't have to suffer fools, we can give them the moo. This episode will be hopefully a useful one for a lot of reasons. And before I get into the meat of this episode, I'm so excited to share something with you. A friend of mine, Leo DePluma, has offered a book to all of us who are patrons of this program. And if you're already a patron, you can go over to patreon.com/sparkmymuse and grab your copy. And if you're not a patron already, it only costs $1 to get this book. I'm going to read a little excerpt of it in a minute, and I think you'll really enjoy it. You can reach out to Leo on Twitter at I am Leo, L-E-O, DePluma, DePLUMA. I had to drag the poor guy onto social media kicking and screaming to help promote this book for him, and it's probably to his detriment, but he would be very happy to engage with you after you read the book and converse about it. That's part of the beauty of doing this book. So I encourage you to join up with us at Patreon and get the book, and we can talk about it together. And I will read you an excerpt now. Imagine this. You're invited to a play at the theater in the big city. You walk into the gorgeous theater, accept your program from the usher, and you're escorted to your seat. You slide through the row of velvet seats and sink down into a comfortable spot. As the orchestra pit begins to play, the curtain opens and the first scene unfolds. Suddenly you shout, "Fake! That is not a forest. You are a young woman, not an old one, and none of this is real or believable." Right? No. Even though people know perfectly well that everything they're watching is 100% unbelievable and not real, people watching plays happily on a regular basis do this, and it does not happen. This is the beauty of art. We suspend our beliefs willingly to enjoy ourselves, or to try to enjoy ourselves if it's a rotten play. When we do, we can laugh, we can learn things, we can be deeply touched, troubled, or inspired. New worlds within worlds are created, and we can momentarily, through cooperation and imagination, we can escape our present location in real, though mental, sort of sense and become part of something bigger, a communal activity or cause, if you will. I highly recommend this book to you because it talks a lot about belief and suspension of belief and imagination. And it's just a really interesting little piece of work, and there's a parable involved in there too. So I think it's something you'll really enjoy. I hope you'll check it out. And also it goes to support the show. It's a $1 a month contribution that you can cancel at any time if you want to. But it really would help support the show. I could use your help. So go to patreon.com/sparkmymuse and get started with that. If you follow me on Twitter, there is a direct link to this actual work that you can download. And if you just go to that link I just mentioned, you'll see it as one of the recent posts. I might be able to do more book releases this way with Leo or with my own books or with other authors, but I will need to hear from you. If you enjoy them or you enjoy this sort of thing, you need to vote with your support. It's $1 a month to get on board, so it's not too bad. It's not too big of a commitment to get books for $1 like that. And I just thank you so much for listening today and being part of what we're up to. I think the best is yet to come. Today I'm very enthusiastic to share something that largely comes from a transcript and an episode of one of my very favorite shows, the On Being podcast and broadcast with Krista Tippett. And this one is an episode with Padraig O'Tooma. He is a theologian and a poet and a peace worker in Northern Ireland. And I am adapting a little bit of this transcript for my uses today. I will include a link to the episode and the transcript within the show notes of this episode. To get the show notes, you can go to patreon.com/sparkmymuse, or you can just look up On Being with Krista Tippett, and you can look up Padraig O'Tuma for this episode and look up the transcript for yourself. During this episode, Padraig mentions Robert Persing, the American writer and philosopher and the author of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. He mentioned that he found the book boring, but that there was a Buddhist concept in there that he embraced. And when I heard Padraig explain this, I thought this was a fascinating and delicious way of encountering the world, not just of using a phrase, but of understanding how to interact with ideas and concepts and people in a completely new way that could be very useful, especially in a world that is increasingly polarized and often we feel backed into a corner or we feel like we have to choose sides. And so I will read the transcript and as best I can in this format and see if we can follow along a little bit. So he says, there's a Buddhist concept. If you ask a poor question, so if a question is being asked, are you this or that? That's what Robert Persing says. You can answer differently. According to his telling of the Zen tradition, you can answer with this word, mu. M-U is how it's spelled. Mu means unask the question, because there's a better question to be asked. In a sense, there's a deeper, richer, more meaningful question. The question that is being asked is limiting and unhelpful, and you'll get no good answer from anything. This question fails us, never mind subsequent answers. Padraig says, I think that's a really delightful way to understand the world. I think questions about Jesus sometimes that are posed in our public rhetoric about Christianity. What do we do here? What do we do there? Is this right? Is that right? Am I allowed to be gay and Christian? For instance, was the question that had plagued me for years. And I think that in a certain sense, we're being told by God, perhaps in silence in our prayers, moo. Because there's better questions to ask. And asking a wiser question might unfold us into asking even more wiser questions, whereas certain kinds of questions just entrench fear. Krista Tippett says, wiser questions will elicit wiser responses. Padraig says, yes, you're right. Krista says, and so that will lead us together down a different road. Padraig says, totally, and maybe towards each other, and into human encounter, and into the possibility of saying, I will learn something from somebody. And so this makes me think of now, looking onto this transcript here, about how often we get these sort of binary situations or questions thrown at us. You have to think this way or that way. You have to vote Republican or Democrat. You have to accept this way or you have to accept that way. And if you're not, you're either for us or you're against us. And those are all false binaries. Almost every binary presented to us is a false one. And so we don't have to suffer fools who ask poor questions. We don't have to suffer that. We can answer the question, moo, unask the question. We don't have to play that strange game. When someone is trying to make you pick something or trying to pin you down, they are trying to make themselves feel better. They are trying to sort out their world, which is a world of smallness and certainty that they hope to keep tightly wound and together. They're not comfortable with uncertainty or uncertain questions or you being uncertain. And you might not be ready to pin yourself down in some way yet, and that's fine. just because they're uncomfortable that you don't want to pick one of the binaries in your answer for the circumstance that you're in, that doesn't mean you have to be bullied by a this or that kind of question. They might be trying to corner you into an in-group or an out-group. Should I see you as a friend or should I see you as a foe? And those are fearful types of people. And they happen on the conservative end of the spectrum, the liberal end of the spectrum. I see it everywhere on Twitter. If you voted this way, you're this. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, because life is full of complexities and multi-layered facets. And to think that it's so simple as to be this or that is really a foolish and narrow way to see the world. We can answer moo, because underneath those binary questions are deeper, more interesting questions that answer deeper, more powerful things about the world and ourselves and our fears. So this line of thought, binary types of questions, shows the qualities of an inflexible mind. The language and the rhetoric barriers that are erected during these types of questions never reflect life or experience in their complex ways in which they really exist. So there's an anti-venom for this kind of toxic way that people engage very commonly now in our world. And it's not just answering moo, but it's having this disposition of moo, which is to say, I hold questions lightly and I hold life and situations loosely because binary assumptions fail us. And it's better to say, if you're presented with some sort of weird binary that seems unfair or strangely narrow in a way that it shouldn't, to say, I wonder what else could be asked. I wonder what's underneath that binary question. What fear? Or what is the better question to ask where we could get into a deeper, more powerful dialogue? Maybe we don't have to agree, but maybe we can come to an understanding that we do have some common things we want. But we don't have to agree on everything, of course. I have friends from every political spectrum you can imagine. Total anarchist friends. I have total, I have racist friends, if you can believe that. It's hard to stomach sometimes. But that's the past that they come from. And of course, most racists don't realize that they're racist. And I have friends that are progressive. I have friends that are middle of the road. And it doesn't mean that you have to agree with the nonsense, or you don't have to agree with everything, but it also doesn't mean that I have to be pegged as an insider or an outsider. I try to stay a centrist in the sense that I might be in your group, but I might not be in your group. But I want to be able to ask interesting questions that lead to something deeper than some narrow binary. And so when Padraig mentioned this word and this way of understanding the world as moo, I thought, oh, that's fantastic. Let's unask a lot of questions. Because I think a lot of us are frustrated with these sort of pigeonholes and questions that don't do us any good and that don't bring us to any better place. And we know that we have to ask better questions, but we don't even know how. And so maybe the start of the conversations need to be, what better questions could we ask that aren't just assumptions about this or that black or white type of questions that are thrown out there? You're either for us or against us. I wonder what better questions we could ask. So your homework, because I like to assign homework on Soul School, your homework is to come up with a deeper question. Unask a question when you're given a binary and ask a deeper question. And if you have a deeper question that you think is good to ask, that would be helpful to ask, send it my way. I am searching for better questions to ask. I'm in the question asking business. I mean, I wish it was a business. It's a hobby, but maybe one day it can help put food on the table. This podcast could help put some food on the table. Right now, it's just draining my pockets. But I am in the question asking field. I want to ask much better questions. And it's something that I work at all the time. How do I ask good questions? How do we get to deeper, more real, more authentic, more powerful and potent things? This is something I have to ask myself in a personal way, and also when I converse with other people in my life, with my family, with my friends, and with my neighbors, and with my opponents or the people who disagree with me. How do we get to those better places? We start by unasking foolish questions that get us nowhere. I thank you so much for joining me today. I invite you to download Leo DePluma's book and read it. It's called The Little Engine That Could Run Your Life. And it is a great little parable with some brilliant little insights in there. And I'm really happy I could partner with Leo. So give that a look. Have a really awesome week. Until next Wednesday, thank you so much for listening.